In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Team Grace, I was looking at the rest of ordinary time, which concludes in late November when we start Advent. And I was looking at the durations of weeks we have and thinking about all the stuff I wanted to cover in the catechism. And I realized there's no way I'm going to be able to cover everything I was hoping to. So I'm going to begin to cut parts of the catechism in order for us to address pivotal parts. I also want to make sure that we apply the catechism to our life as disciples. So I want to talk a little bit about Mass. What does it mean to participate at Mass? So for the next Sundays, for this portion of ordinary time, I'm going to be focusing on the parts of the Mass and aspects of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We do this in order to deepen our understanding of this sacrifice and of the Lord's presence among us. The bishops of our country have called us to a national Eucharistic revival. Here at Our Lady of Grace, we pick up that mantle. We want to make sure that we truly dive into what it means as baptized Christians that we can participate in this sacrifice and share in the offerings of Jesus to the Father. So first, let's go to the participation in Mass. First, I want to stress that if you're baptized and you're here, you are not simply an observer. You are called to participate in this sacrifice. Now, if someone's with us and they're not baptized, well, you can't participate. You can sit and observe, and you're a welcomed guest. And we hope one day that maybe you'll accept Christian baptism. But only the baptized can participate in Mass. Because when I speak about participating in the Mass, I'm not just talking about singing the hymns, although you should do that. I'm not simply talking about making the responses, although you should be doing that too. I'm speaking about the spiritual participation in the Mass. That's the real work. The active and actual participation of the baptized is a spiritual work when we participate at Mass. So in order to help us, I want to just highlight different parts of the Mass. Sometimes we just don't know what we're supposed to be doing. Oh, I didn't know that that's what that part of the Mass meant. I didn't know that is what was expected of me. So first, let's go back to last week. Last week, we spoke about the ways in which we honor the Eucharist. We spoke about many things, but I just want to emphasize the importance of coming to Mass early. There are a lot of things in our world that distract us, demand our attention, the hustle and bustle. And if you think that you can slide into worship right on time or a little late and you're ready for worship, you're delusional. You're delusional. You're going to be too distracted to worship. That's why you should try to come early. Come about 15 minutes. Look at the readings. Look at the prayers that we're going to be praying. Get your heart ready. What's going on in my heart? What's been happening the past week? What has hurt me or scared me? What has lifted me up or encouraged me? We want to give our souls that time to prepare for worship. So we come early. And then once we come in, we bless ourselves with holy water. We bless ourselves with holy water, first of all, reminding us of our baptism, that we are baptized in Christ. We are one with Christ. And of course, we also bless ourselves with holy water, reminding ourselves that this is a sacred place. This is a sacred place. This place of worship is different than any other place, even that narthex right outside those doors. When we walk in here, we are in God's presence. It means the way we speak, the way we conduct ourselves, everything is different because this is a sacred place. We remind ourselves again by blessing ourselves with water that we are entering a sacred place. Once we walk in, we genuflect, or if we're not able to genuflect, we bow. That's the acknowledgement of the Lord's presence among us. We are in the throne room of our King. We don't deserve to be here. We don't merit to be here. In His sheer goodness, God invites us to be in His throne room and in His presence. So we genuflect or we bow in order to show our homage to our King. Then we sit down in the pews and we start preparing ourselves for Mass. Okay, that was all last week. But once we're done and we're preparing, the Mass starts. The bell is rung, we stand up, we sing a good hymn, the priest goes up, reverences the altar, goes to his chair, and he makes the sign of the cross. We begin Mass with the sign of the cross, showing that everything we do, even worship, is in order to honor and glorify the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we bless ourselves, we make the sign of the cross. Then I say, the Lord be with you. Now that's not me just being nice. Right? I'm actually drawing from New Testament teaching, from apostolic teaching, and I'm saying, the Lord be with you. What am I saying? I hope you haven't killed the life of God within you. I hope you're not immortal sin. I hope that you're not so distracted that you have forgotten about the presence of God within you. May the Lord be with you. May God be dwelling in your souls. As members of the baptized, may God be with you. And then what do you say? And with your spirit. Now, what's interesting is, as the baptized, you're not greeting me individually. You're greeting my priestly spirit. You are saying, as the baptized, may the Lord be with your spirit. What does that mean? May you be a good priest. May you offer a good sacrifice. May you not give us a lousy homily. May you be a good priest. May the Lord be in your priestly spirit. Right? And then after that, I give you an introduction. It's ordinary time. Or here's something that's happening in the gospel. I help you to reorient and stay focused on worship. And then after that, we enter the penitential rite. A penitential rite is the part I want to emphasize today. I will ask you, as the baptized, to call to mind your sins. And then there's a pause. And we didn't have it today because of the baptism, but normally we have that call to mind of sins and the pause. You know, there are some who don't understand why that pause exists. In fact, some people are wondering, why is that priest not moving on? Why do we have this pause? Why doesn't he just keep going? What's happening up there? What's he doing? But that pause is important, dear friends, because you have just been invited to call to mind your sins. And guess what? You should be calling to mind your sins. Now, in the most severe case, you can be saying, Lord, I'm in grave sin right now, and I'm away from you. But I ask for the graces of conversion that I might come back to you. Help me to repent. Help me to get to confession as soon as possible. That's a good prayer for the penitential rite. Now, please, God, none of us are in mortal sin. So for most of us, we're just calling to mind our venial sins. I was really unkind to that person at the grocery store. And I was abrupt to that server at the restaurant. And I spoke harshly to my spouse. And I cut that person off in traffic, right? We call to mind our sins. That pause is very important. And then after that pause, we hear the declarations. You were sent to heal the contrite of heart. And then you say, Lord, have mercy. Now, when you're participating in Mass and you've really taken that time to call to mind your sins at that time, and then you hear it declared that God comes to those who are contrite, you say from your heart, Lord, have mercy. It's not just something we say every week, but it's something that flows from the heart. Lord, have mercy. I'm sorry. That's not who I want to be. I want to be different. Lord, take away my sins. So we have the prayers, and then the priest says, may Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. That is called the minor absolution. Do you know, dear friends, that if you've called to mind venial sins during that part of the Mass, the minor absolution absolves those sins. So if you're just standing there thinking about other things, what am I going to do this afternoon, or what do I have to get at the grocery store? Your minds are so many other places. You miss the opportunity to have sin removed from your soul. The reason why Mother Church puts that penitential rite at the beginning of Mass is so that any sins are on your soul, those venial sins, they can be washed away. Now imagine, you're free from mortal sin and you get those venial sins removed. That means you can approach for Holy Communion completely pure, completely holy. You can actually be sinless when you approach in order to receive the body and blood of the living God. So that penitential rite is very important. And again, that's an active participation for you to call to mind your sins. So here at Our Lady of Grace, just to make things really awkward, starting next weekend, we're going to extend the duration of that pause. We're going to make it nice and long, right? Just so we can really get in there, right? I don't know about you guys, but oftentimes I need that long pause, right? We are works in progress. So I'm going to encourage you, use the penitential rite of the Mass and realize that minor absolution is given to you as a grace. Okay, that's a part of the Mass, and we're going to keep walking through the different parts of the Mass and how we're called to participate. Now I want to move then to the Catechism. Now we're going to be in number 1337, so if you have your catechisms, you can join me. They're in number 1337. Now you know, last week we finished the subsection on bread and wine. This week we're moving to a new subsection on the institution of the Eucharist. Now, before we dive into that, we need to get the mind moving. So let me ask you, Team Grace, how many major parts are there in the Catechism of the Catholic Church?
Four.
All right. And what's the first part?
Creed.
The Creed. The second part? The sacraments. The third? Morals. And the fourth? Prayer. Exactly. And of course, we're talking about the Eucharist, which is why we're camped out in part two, right? We're just walking through all the sections and the subsections. And again, we're in a new subsection on the institution of the Eucharist. What was Jesus doing in the upper room? So we're going to go to 1337. It begins, "The Lord, having loved those who were his own, loved them to the end." The Lord, having loved those who were his own. Are you the Lord's own? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Are you willing to follow the way of his gospel? Are you the Lord's own? Because if you're the Lord's own, he will love you, and he will love you to the end. That means he will give you everything. Whatever he has, he will pour out in service. There is nothing more Jesus Christ could have done that he did not do in order to show us how much he loves us. Our question, the question on our hearts is, are we willing to be the Lord's own? The Lord, having loved those who were his own, loved them to the end. Knowing that the hour had come to leave the world and return to the Father, in the course of a meal, he washed their feet and gave them the commandment of love. Do you realize that, dear friends, that the Lord took his apostles to the upper room, and before he instituted the Eucharist, he took off his vestments, he knelt down before his disciples, his subordinates, and he washed their feet. Why did the Lord do that? The Lord was showing in a graphic display what he was going to do in his passion, death, and resurrection. What was going to happen when he instituted the Eucharist? That when the Lord Jesus pours out all that he is, his passion, his death, and his glorious resurrection, he is pouring out, he is serving the human family. And he shows us that right before the institution of the Eucharist by washing the feet of his disciples. Do you realize that, dear friends? That the Lord wants to wash your feet? That the Lord is willing to roll up his sleeves and get down and dirty in order to clean the dirt of this fallen world off your feet and make you clean. But once he does that, he then sends us out, those of us who have been purified and washed in him, in order to wash the feet of others. Do you do that? Do you do that, or have you allowed yourself to become too comfortable? Has life become too easy for you? Or are you willing to die to yourself and to wash the feet of others? For those of us who are called to participate in this sacrifice, do this in remembrance of me, we have been given another commandment to go and to selflessly serve others. Service is oftentimes a word that has lost its substance. People say, I want to serve, but not on this day. I want to serve, but not in this way. I want to serve, but on my conditions. Newsflash, that's not service. That's not service. Selfless service means I'm here, I'm ready, I will do whatever is needed, I will wash the feet of my neighbor. The Catechism continues, in order to leave them a pledge of this love. Have you ever thought of the Eucharist in that way? That when you come to receive Holy Communion, that the Lord Jesus has given us a pledge of his love. Now I know most of you are nervous because you start hearing pledges in a church, you think you're going to be asked for money, right? But we're not asking for any money today, there's a different pledge. The Lord is giving us a pledge, and he's showing us a pledge of his love. Every time we celebrate the Eucharist, the Lord is fulfilling that pledge. Have you seen the Eucharist in that way? That every time you come to Mass, the Lord is fulfilling the pledge. He wants you to know how much he loves you. The Catechism continues. In order to show this pledge of love, in order to never depart from his own. Do you realize that this fallen world, it throws so much garbage at us. It wants to break us, knock us down, and kick us while we're down. There are so many things in this fallen world that want to just rob us of our peace, want to rob us of God's grace. But you know, the Lord is always with us. We can go through the fallenness of this world and come to the Eucharist and this sacrifice and know that the Lord's goodness has been victorious. That darkness and that suffering and that evil, it hasn't won. Jesus Christ alone is victor. And we come and we celebrate that victory that the Lord is with us. We feel like our hearts have been crushed. God's still with us. We come and the Lord gives us the Eucharist to remind us that he's still with us. The Catechism continues. And to make them sharers in his passion, he instituted the Eucharist as the memorial of his death and resurrection. That means he gives us a pledge of love. He shows us that he's still with us. And he lets us participate in his sacrifice. In his passion, death, and resurrection. When we come to Mass, we participate in a sacrifice. We participate in Jesus' sacrifice to the Father. And we're called to then go out and live that sacrifice, to share in his passion, death, and resurrection. And don't we know that? We go out in the world, we see the passion of temptation, the passion of fear, the passion of anxiety, and it just wants to chew us up. But we know that those bad spirits have no power over us. We come and we are able to be with the Lord, and we know that He has triumphed. We know that the Lord is with us, and we share in His Passover, His passion, death, and resurrection. We can only do that as the baptized. We can participate with Jesus. And then the catechism concludes, and commanded His apostles to celebrate it until His return. Thereby He constituted them priests of the New Testament. So the Lord said, here's a sacrifice. So there has to be priests in order to offer the sacrifice. So there in the upper room, Jesus instituted the Eucharist, and He ordained the 12 apostles priests that they could offer this sacrifice, that you, the baptized, can receive the grace of this sacrifice. He instituted the priesthood of the new covenant. Now, dear friends, there's a lot more. And we're going to be walking through the catechism. We're going to be walking through the Mass in order for us to understand what we're participating in, what we're called to participate in, and what the Lord teaches us, so that by knowing, we can more deeply love. And then by loving, we can fulfill what the Lord calls us to do in the midst of the world.